Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I told you, I'm battling a little bit of a cold here. Battling a little bit. Can you hear me at least?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, but you didn't hear the song intro there.
No.
Dexter, the show Dexter.
Is that what the serial killer?
Yeah, any opinion on Jimmy Smits's performance in season 3? I thought he was outstanding.
I'm not a fan of the show, but I'm not saying I don't watch the show, but I don't know. Are you trying to give him an Oscar or what?
No.
Close friend or?
Yeah, I watched the show. I watched the show on Movie Central on demand.
Okay.
I did like season 1 and 2 on DVD.
Yeah.
And so I just watched season 3, and Jimmy Smits, I believe he used to be in LA Law.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, well, I'm not that old, man. You're gonna like bring it back to the Jeffersons and everything.
Well, no, that's before me. That's... Leave me alone. I'm not going there.
All right.
I'm not going there. With us today, we have the starting center of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, fifth year player Bryson Cool.
Thanks for having me on. I feel quite old.
When
you say it that way.
but I just made you feel young talking about LA Law, hey?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even with your random analogies to TV shows, just even being here 5 years has been. I just thought of the other day. That's half a decade. I always make fun of people about, you know, even Kev, our head coach, being here almost 10 years, like that's a long time.
You're here half that amount now.
I know.
Wait till 10 years from now and you'll be like,
yeah,
and that wasn't long at all.
Yeah, and then he'll be emailing me for money to support the program.
There you go. With us right now, Bryson Cool. Bryson is there. And actually, before we get underway here, Bryson, and get into last weekend and the big weekend coming up against Trinity Western, because we're looking back at the past, growing up, any favorite NBA center?
I would have to say I like Shaq. Shaq is, I mean, I need another 150 pounds to compete in his league, but he just dominated. Like he's one of the only true, like, besides Michael Jordan, just to dominate at his position. It's just unbelievable.
So you never saw Bird and Jordan though. You never saw that.
Well, I saw Bird, and I guess that was late 80s.
At the end, his back's already sore.
Yeah. I guess I've been kind of blessed to seeing kind of like the transition of the NBA to the new LeBron, like Kobe.
I don't like it today.
Yeah, but...
I've got Grizzlies wounds, too.
Yeah, but those... those wounds take a long time to heal, right? I was going to say.
And actually, a friend of mine, we were talking about it on the weekend, a guy I was with... We both had an epiphany in the NBA, too. It was when, and I remember exactly what he was talking about. It was when Tracy McGrady demanded a trade out of Toronto because he wanted to go somewhere so he could be the man. Turned us both off.
I was actually just reading something on ESPN this week. They had the team of anti-All-Stars this year, the players who've been the biggest disappointments, and Tracy McGrady was up there along with... Oh man, I just drew a blank. Yeah, but he's definitely the front runner for being.
There you go. See, I don't even know anymore. I don't even know anymore. Bryson Cool with us right now, starting center for the UBC Thunderbirds. Bryson, you guys got your playoffs underway this past weekend versus SFU, and you guys swept SFU 97-72, 101-84 on the Saturday. 198 points combined for you guys in the two games this weekend. And here's a stat I've got for you. In your 5 years at UBC, you played SFU 22 times.
Mm-hmm. And we lost...
You won 19 games.
Yeah.
Including 16 of the last 17.
Mm-hmm.
When you first came to this program 5 years ago, did you ever think that stat would ever be possible?
I mean, to be honest, when I came here, like, you don't realize how big these crosstown rival games are. You know, when you come into high school, you really don't understand those intense rivalries. And us with UVic, especially the last three or four years in the Pacific Division Finals, like, obviously they're not in this year, but Trinity is. But every team throughout division has that type of. I remember Kevin, even on our seniors night, he was just listing, you know, me and Matt and Chris's records against certain teams in our division, and it was quite impressive. I mean, I don't like to brag about myself, but it's quite, I mean, I'm a big fan of team statistics, so it's nice to see.
Yeah. So on the weekend, you guys have to be happy with the way that you played. You had that one rough third quarter into the fourth quarter on the Saturday versus SFU, but you were up by so much that they never really got back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I've learned in my time here it's that's one of the toughest things to do in sports is just when a team's got nothing. Well, teams got their season to lose, yeah. So that's makes every difference in the world. But just we knew they were going to make some shots and go on a run. I mean, they had a couple 50 guys playing their last game ever in possibly organized basketball uniform. So just being able to kind of pull through, and I thought our depth, especially some of the younger guys coming off the bench, provided a spark for us to be able to pull that win through when they were kind of knocking on our door.
After the game, coaches, I thought you played almost a perfect game on the Friday. Saturday, an incredible first half. I mean, you know, you guys were leading by, what is it here, on the Saturday, you guys were up 57-33 at halftime. So, it was almost like the game was almost over at half. What did the coaches tell you after the game? What do you guys have to improve upon from last weekend, or was there anything?
I mean, coaches are never 100% satisfied with a performance. I mean, I would say the same for players, but, they just told us to, keep your mind in the bigger picture. Already be thinking about next week. You know, we knew when coming in we would be hosting Pacific Division Finals and hopefully Canada West. So but aside from that, taking one game at a time, just focus on our defense. I mean, that's been our biggest thing all year. They say that, you know, your shots may not fall every night, but you know your defense, your work ethic and intensity should be the same every night.
And when you just before we leave the SFU game here this weekend, I thought you guys were just awesome. Chris Dick was crazy for you guys on the weekend. 53 points in the two games. Is when you came into the league in 2004. You know, your whole career here, SFU never won a playoff series. Went over there. They haven't won a series since 2002. They have now lost 16 of their last 17 playoff games. People on their roster, Sean Burke. They've got another guy, I believe Kevin Shaw or something. He's been there for 4 years. They've never won a playoff game.
That's a good stat to hear. I mean, I'm not going to come here and bash them because, you know, they got a quality program there. But it's nice being able to... to beat your crosstown rivals. It's the same thing, Lakers beating the Celtics, Celtics beating the Lakers in the NBA, and hopefully that might change this year, but...
I'm a Lakers guy.
I'm a Lakers guy, but I'm not a Yankees fan, which is kind of a double standard, so... Not taking the two highest payrolls in the league, or the two... You don't agree with that?
No, I just think you're lame. That's all. I know a guy. He's a Laker fan and a Red Sox fan.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, shut up, Bradley. I call him behind his back Big City.
I mean, people always want to hate on the bigger guys, right? Yeah, everyone shows you on your dog.
Yeah, I guess so. With us right now...
I just see some real hate in your eyes when you say that.
Well, I was this big... I mean, I'm not an NBA guy anymore, but I was a big Celtic fan when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got it. That was the best rivalry. It was Celtics-Lakers. And then a great one back in the day was Pistons. Celtics was really good, and then Bulls, Pistons. Mm-hmm.
Well, to be honest, if it makes you feel any better, the Seahawks are my favorite NFL team. So
okay,
so that kind of balances out.
So you have a baseball team?
Baseball team. I'm a Mariners fan, and okay. I like that. I mean, I don't want to say the Red Sox, but
so you go. I actually think the lamest fans are Red Sox fans.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole Red Sox Nation thing is a little.
Well, can I tell you what it is?
Yeah,
they pretend they're the underdog.
Yeah.
But, okay, yes, the Yankees have a $210 million
Yeah, maybe
pick.
6 or 7 years ago, not anymore.
You know, they have a $210 million payroll, the Yankees do, but the Red Sox are like $150 million.
Yeah.
And everybody else is, two-thirds of that tops, I thought it was great watching Tampa Bay beat out the Yankees and the Red Sox in a series last year. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
I know, what was that? It was the biggest turnaround in professional sports. It was because I think they finished last in their division the year before, yeah. Last year, maybe even the their league, and to win the World Series is quite
ALCS. Sorry, Bryson.
Sorry, I knew that. I just slipped my tongue.
With us right now, Bryson Cool of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. And Bryson, I'm going to segue this. You talked about a great turnaround by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. You're going to be taking on a team this weekend that's had a fine turnaround in CIS basketball. 6-17 last year. Trinity Western 17-6 this year. You are the center for UBC. You're going to be going against maybe the top player in the Canada West, the guy that averaged 20 points, double-digit rebounds during the season, Jacob Dirksen. It's going to be a great series. There's going to be a lot of fans out here from Langley this weekend. It's going to be a great atmosphere in that War Gym. Pacific Division Final doesn't get much better than this in your league, Bryson. UBC, Trinity Western. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a nice welcome change after the last couple years playing UVic in the finals. It's kind of been the same old story. Not that it hasn't been a good one, but this weekend is going to be just another chapter in our kind of our quest to bring that title home. And Trinity has had a heck of a year, going from not too many wins last year. I'm not sure their exact number, but coming in,
I think it was 6-17, and they went 17-6.
Completely opposite.
Yeah,
that is a Tampa Bay like turnaround. But to be able to become a top 10 team after obviously Scott Allen going there and him bringing a few players along, Brian Bandman coming back for this year, Jamie Vaughn. Getting Jacob Dirksen, obviously, as you mentioned, has just been huge for them. And it's gonna be a battle. It's really looking forward to it.
How do you guys look at it as a team? Because you had to beat SFU to advance, but there is something this weekend with the way your playoff system works. If you lose this weekend, you still will get the wild card for the Canada West Final Four. But if you win this weekend, not only is it bragging rights and you keep winning, but you'll host the Canada West Final Four. If you lose, you got to go to Langley next weekend for the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's aware of the situation, but no one's obviously thinking of the lesser option of those two. But just being able to host Canada West, having the opportunity to do that, especially in my last year, would be something I would never forget. I mean, we hosted them 2 years or 3 years ago when we played Victoria.
We
lost that one. So be able to kind of get some retribution on home court. And home court has been big for us our year. I mean, having a consistent fan base has been great for us this year. And just being able to, play in front of them. We've been undefeated at home this year.
Yep.
I mean, besides the lone American Tulsa, I think it was, in the preseason. We haven't lost a game in our gym. So, we'd hope to keep it at home.
And you played Trinity three times this year. Sorry to cut you off there, Bryson. You played Trinity three times this year. You beat them twice opening weekend of the season, once in overtime. It took for you guys to beat them. And then there was that game in the second half of the year, which I got to be honest there, Bryson, that was probably the worst fourth quarter I've seen you guys play in a long time, losing that game out in Langley.
Oh, that was a bad dream. as our coach sometimes says, basketball's a game of runs, and I think that's speaks some volume when you're talking about the season too, because that team they were a sub 500 team to middle November, I believe, and then they turned it around. They won 11 or 12 games in a row, and those first two games we played against them weren't an indicator of I don't think of their full potential as a team. And so, but when we actually did play them at their place, we had a bit of a rude awakening for our team. Having won so many games in a row, we kind of realized that we can't just step in and show up and beat a team, especially a quality team like Trinity.
So what happened in that game, or was that just, as you said, a bad dream? What went wrong that you can't have happen this weekend?
I think the two biggest stats that our coach has been stressing all year are rebounding margin and turnovers. And both of them, turnovers, we were pretty high that day. And we also got killed in the boards by, I think, about 10 or 15. What do you got there? You got the stats?
Well, Jacob Dirksen, 30 points, 14 rebounds.
Yeah, so he had a significant chunk of that. But, if we control the boards and limit our turnovers, I think those would be, you know, we give ourselves a great chance to win the series.
So, personally, though, Bryson, you're going to be going against Jacob Dirksen this weekend, correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah, and you had to take on Greg Wallace for SFU. Also, I think he had 18 points, 10 rebounds this year himself. So, a couple of tough matchups for you to start this little playoff run. Tell us about this player, Jacob Dirksen, and what does UBC have to do? What's the game plan with this guy?
I think both those teams' offices run through their best player. I mean, they're both Greg Wallace and Jacob Dirksen, and it's hard because, you know, you want to deny them a touch every time down the floor, but they're going to get the ball sometimes. And just being able to contain him and not let him get any easy hoops, just, I mean, especially with our depth, just you know, bump and grind all night, just be really physical with him, tire him out, because he's probably going to play a full 40 minutes. So I think our depth will really show over the series and just be able to wear him down.
Do you guys go after him, try to get him into foul trouble? Is that another strategy you
employ? Yeah, that was one of the reasons we lost the game at Trinity, because our forwards, myself included, we didn't do that great of a job getting him to play defense. I mean, he would utilize most of his energy on offense and kind of just, you know, prance around the defense without having to expend too much energy. And just being able to attack him, to be able to post up hard on him, just being able to go at him and just, like I said, like get him to play defense will, you know, bode well for us.
So you got to be aggressive.
Aggressive, yes. I think we showed that well, myself included, against, you know, we can do it against a good team like SFU, so I don't see there's any difference against Trinity.
Terrific. And in the other series going on, I mean, to be honest, Bryson, I want to see Trinity Western, and I want to see Calgary here in the Final Four 2 weeks from now. I adore their warm-up where they're dunking the ball. I adore it.
Yeah, well, lots of people do, but if they came and saw our game a few weeks ago, we realized that we had the last laugh in that game. So, I mean, our warm-up's not that bad either, but it's definitely, no, they got a few high flyers on their team.
I was at the Canada West Final Four with you guys last year, and they were at home, packed gym, and they're putting on a show for their fans. It wasn't the same here at UBC, but I really got to see them do it up in Calgary last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're a bit of a showcase team. I mean, they like dunks or three pointers. I mean, I think it was a good indication of our all around basketball skills as a team when we played them. I think it kind of shone through, and that's why we got the W.
Not saying I like the way they play. I'm just saying I was entertained by them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And any guy that can do a 360 through the leg just dunk has gotten my vote, man. Just, I mean, I wish I could do that.
You had a dunk on the weekend, though.
I did, yes, I did. But not, it wasn't, it wouldn't get me in the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Bryson Quill with us. Bryson, thanks so much for doing this. And do have to ask you, you guys had a practice this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Did Josh White, your starting point guard, practice today?
Yeah, he participated in some drills. I mean, after missing the past couple of weeks with a foot injury, he's back at it. He'll be ready to go for this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's playing this weekend. That's what it looks as of today. That's what it.
You can quote me on that.
Awesome. Okay. Good stuff. Bryson Quill, awesome. UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if necessary.
If necessary.
Friday and Saturday, we'll be taking on Trinity Western in the War Memorial Gymnasium, Canada West Pacific Division Final. The winner will host the Canada West Championship, the Canada West Final Four, the following weekend. The way it works, though, with UBC, because there's the three division winners and a wild card team. Worst case, you will be going to the wild card. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling, you know.
And come on, this is supposed to be a UBC-based radio station.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you're going to be in the Canada West Championship.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you're a pretty big fan of Calgary and Jacob Dirksen, but we'll have to prove you wrong this
week. No, I'm not a big fan of Jacob Dirksen, but I am a big fan of that Calgary warm. I'm just telling you. I want to see Calgary here two weeks from now doing the warm-up.
They can take the Canada West title for warm-up, but we'll take it for the real title.
That's what I want to see. That's why it's like Nathan Yu. I'm at practice, and one of your guards, and he's, you know, telling me how he can dunk and all this stuff. And I watch him do a dunk, and there he is in a breakaway in a game that week And he did a layup.
Oh, that's a huge difference. He did a just layup. Being able to dunk in a uncontested layup line and throwing one down in a game.
Henry Beckering had a big dunk against you guys in the Canada West Final Four. Put him up 4-0 early until you blew him out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Bryson, cool. Bryson, best of luck this weekend. Beat Trinity Western, and then in the Canada West Championship next weekend, kick the hell out of Calgary.
For sure. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys, and hope to see you out this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7, and as Daryl said, it's Sunday at 2.
Yeah, don't have me here Sunday, Bryson. I got to get ready for the... Oh, Oscar picks! You got an Oscar
you're
pick.
You're killing me.
You got an Oscar pick.
Yeah, like, Rihanna and Chris Brown, you're probably all over that, aren't you?
Ooh, he beat her.
Yeah, I don't
but know. He apologized.
How can
I
you,
read.
Mackie, how can
what
you
is that? With that guy?
No matter what a girl does, you don't lay your hands on a woman. You don't do that.
She's performing at the what do they call it? What is the award they have there?
Grammys.
The Grammys that night, and he beats her up. He getting what? Oh, that's bad.
That's not a manly thing. Dude.
No, it is not.
You can go about different ways.
But that's
things.
Not an Oscar question. What? You haven't seen any movies?
No, okay. Ask me. So you
best
okay,
picture. Best you got picture. Anything?
I haven't seen Gran Torino yet, but I hear that's up there.
It's not nominated, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought the two best movies of the year were The Gran Torino and The Wrestler.
I haven't seen that one either.
Give that's the number.
What else is up there? I mean,
Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Milk, which I think should win out of those. Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Sean Penn.
I'm gonna say
Benjamin
Slumdog.
Button. Benjamin
yeah,
Button.
I fell asleep during that one.
The Reader, which I didn't really like so much. And, I actually can't remember the fifth one offhand. Oh, Frost Nixon, which was very good. But I think Milk should win, but I personally thought Gran Torino.
Have you seen Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah.
Really?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that.
Bollywood dancing at the end I thought was awful.
It was weird because
awful.
I was at the movie theater and no one left. Everyone just stayed and watched the whole thing. It was kind of awkward.
I was like, let me go now. This is bugging me.
And for all those people who clap at a movie, could you please stop doing that? Because no one's actually receiving that.
So you're picking Slumdog.
A Slumdog, yeah. I would say, well, maybe Slumdog for best, maybe foreign film or whatever.
It's just nominated for best picture.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to say Slumdog because I've only seen Slumdog and Benjamin Button.
And it was better than Benjamin Button.
Yes, it was. Yeah, well, I fell asleep during that.
Gran Torino's fantastic. Yeah. And See the Wrestler.
See the Wrestler.
See the Wrestler. Okay. But you're talking to a guy who, like, 8 years ago... went out and saw the Honky Tonk Man wrestle in New Westminster.
I was a big wrestling fan growing up. I was a big fan of The Rock. Big fan.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I do, you jabroni.
There you go. Bryson, cool. Well done there, Bryson. Once again, folks, UBC Thunderbird Men's Basketball Pacific Division Final, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock, and Sunday, 2 p.m.
Yes.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Bryson. We're going to take a break. When we're back, Howard Samora of the Vancouver province will be with us. We're going to be previewing your series there, Bryson. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
Stewie, hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
Ah!
That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good.
Thank you to all the donors who pledged their financial support during the CITR on-air fund drive. We are moved by your generosity, and thank you for enabling us to purchase new equipment and improve our programming. Do remember to stop by the station, pay your pledges, and pick up your prizes. We look forward to meeting you anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Thank you again for your amazing response. Listen to our happy voices on the air, happier after we purchase new equipment for our studios. Thanks again.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Hey, what's wrong?
I've been looking for a job since I came to Canada, and I haven't found anything.
Have you tried WorkLearn?
What's WorkLearn?
Part-time jobs on campus for international undergraduate students just like us help me find a great job that's actually related to my studies.
Wow, I'll have to check that out.
You should. It's good pay, good experience, and good for your career. Just look for WorkLearn postings at www.careersonline.ubc.ca. You can even ask your profs and campus staff if they can create a job for you.
To participate in WorkLearn, you must be an international student seeking an undergraduate degree, in a participating faculty and registered full-time, with a study permit valid for at least 6 months. For more information, visit www.careers.ubc.ca.
Nobody told me. All right, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. With us on the line right now, and, you know, me being out of the loop, Howard, I actually just found out something in the little PSA break there from, thanks for telling me beforehand there, Bryson. With us right now is Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province. And, Howard, did I just find out that an appeal was launched by UVic, who played Trinity Western on the weekend, 1-3 games? And the way it worked, Howard, is because we learned about it for UBC with Josh White on the weekend, is Josh White was injured for UBC on the Friday, but UBC, knowing you have to have the same 12-man roster for the entire weekend, actually dressed Josh White as a player on the Friday, meaning all weekend long, Josh White was going to be a part of that team. And it turns out that that Trinity Western, in their 3-game series victory versus UVic, actually dressed a different lineup in every one of the games.
Yeah, and I think what's become contentious here, Daryl, is the third game, which is the deciding game, and that's the game I think that Victoria protested. What ended up happening was Joe Vroom, their post player, played in the first two games of the series, but was sick come Saturday. And so what Trinity Western did, not knowing that they were breaking the rules, obviously, was they dressed Daniel Damien, a backup guard, in place of Joe Vroom, and that's the contentious point here. So Victoria filed a protest over the weekend with the Canada West to have the series overturned, I guess, in their favor. I understand the ruling has now come back, and that what's ended up happening here is that the series will still, be won by Trinity Western. They haven't overturned that, but they have suspended Scott Allen, the head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans, for the first two games of the UBC series.
Now, what does that exactly mean, that Scott Allen is suspended for the first two games? Is he allowed to come to the stadium at all? Is he sitting in the stands? Is he on the bench?
I think a suspension means he cannot coach the team. And I think any time you can't coach a team, you're not supposed to be in the building. I haven't looked into it. To tell you the truth, Daryl, I just found this out about a half an hour ago myself. Haven't even had a chance to make a call. But, if he's not on the bench, he's not going to be coaching them. I don't think we're going to get to the point where, he's going to be sending signals to the bench from in the crowd. I mean, that would just make a joke of the rule. So I would imagine he can't be in the building. That would be my interpretation of that. And really, that is a huge, huge blow to the Trinity Western Spartans. Because, and that's absolutely not saying anything against the rest of the coaching staff, but Scott Allen really coaches that team. He really coaches it, and perhaps I think Trinity could feel the effect of not having their general there on the bench guiding them through such a tough series against the Birds.
Now, Howard, this kind of sounds like a compromise suspension to me, because it actually happened to the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team last year. They had to forfeit some points for, I believe, that same issue, playing some ineligible players. So the rule, if they went by definition, UVic would win the series, but it obviously looks like they didn't want to do that, so they say, okay, we'll just suspend the coach. It seems like a compromise was reached.
Well, yeah, here. And you know what? I don't know, what you do in a case like this, because here's where the mistake has happened. Scott Allen is a first year guy in this league, and as such is probably not intimate with all the rules that are in place. Things you can do in high school likely you can't do, obviously in the Canada West where things are more closely monitored. You could have a player, and I understand Victoria's point in this, the player that gets sick, I mean, how do you prove someone is actually sick? Obviously, we know Trinity Western is not lying here in this situation, but you could have a player who's almost ready to come back and not use them in the first few games of the series, then say someone is sick and bring another guy back into the lineup. So the rule is there for a purpose. I think what the Canada West probably looked at was not overturning the series based on the fact that Daniel Damien, while a talented guard, is hardly the kind of guy that's a main rotation player, on this Trinity Western team, and he didn't make a difference, obviously, in Trinity winning.
Howard, did he play?
Yeah, he played.
That's a little shifty.
Yeah, he did play. I mean, there's no question that he played.
That's a little shady. I say it, Howard, because UBC had that situation this past weekend with Josh White. They decided on the Friday They were going to dress him for the weekend, although on the Friday and Saturday, they had an 11-man roster because Josh White was in street clothes for both of those games. Kevin Hansen was aware, and we saw it go down here at UBC. Yeah. It is a little shady that he played, Howard.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm not saying for one second that Trinity Western was right or anything in terms of what they did. I mean, they've fully come out, and I think I haven't seen the press releases yet from the Canada West, so I don't know what they've said in their part. And like I said, I haven't made a call, but there's no question they violated the rule. Maybe you have to follow the letter of the law, you know, in this instance. I don't know. All I know is this is what I have learned, is that Scott Allen is being suspended for the first two games of the series. And believe me, that. Short of losing the series, that's about as big a blow as you could give that Trinity Western team.
Well, I have Daniel Demian's stats right here. It says he played 0+ minutes, 1-for-2 at the free throw line for 1 point. So
okay, well, I mean, it was a close game. It was a two-point game.
Well, he only scored one, so I guess they might have still won by a point. You know, it's a tough. Your thoughts on the suspension here, Howard? Do you think this was the right move by the Canada West?
Well, you know, I barely had time to digest this, Daryl, but you had to do something. If you weren't going to overturn the series, you had to do something. And I think you had to penalize the team that made the mistake. I mean, you know, the rule is there for a purpose. And if you're just going to not follow it, I mean, what's the point of having it there? So, you know, in my instance, perhaps Trinity should consider themselves lucky the series wasn't overturned. It doesn't matter the quality of the player. You have to follow the rule here. And obviously, I don't think anything was done maliciously here, because Joel Vroom, if you look at the first game in that series, was maybe their best player in the entire game.
Right.
He was lights out good, and I wrote about him in the lead of my story. He was so good. So, yeah, I'm sure they weren't doing it on purpose. If they could have had Joel Vroom, they would have wanted to have him in there the way he was playing. So, but at the same time, you got to lay down the law, and whether this is enough, I don't know. I think, you know, when you don't follow the letter of the law, though, you know, people start to question, you know, how seriously you are as a sports league. And there's been plenty of instances, I think, throughout the CIS where things have looked really funny. And they, as you say, compromises, maybe this is one of them, I don't know. But it certainly is an interesting twist that just come totally out of the blue here on Monday afternoon.
So how does this work? I mean, I do have the question of Scott Allen. I don't think, Howard, you can let him into the stadium for this game.
No, I mean, I don't think you do. I mean, I think a suspension of a coach means, I've never heard of a coach being suspended being allowed into the arena ever in my entire life. Even in a high school game, if you're suspended, you know, you're either in the dressing room if you get kicked out midway through the game, or you're not in the gym.
Because you can't have him in the dressing room because he could, you know, adjust things at halftime. And you honestly can't have him in the stands, because I've seen it in baseball when UBC Thunderbird head coach Terry McKeag has been kicked out. He's sitting on the side. I mean, you just see it happen in baseball. The coach gets thrown out. He goes, sits on the sideline. He's still giving signals and pitchers are being changed.
Yeah.
And in a game with this magnitude, and it's going to be such a great atmosphere in the gym, I mean, believe me, all hell will break loose if they have Scott Allen in the sidelines and a UBC player or coach catches him giving signals. All hell will break loose at that point.
I think you're going off on a tangent with this, Daryl. He's not going to be in the gym. I think we can be pretty sure of that. And I can also say one other thing. Scott Allen is a stand-up guy to the nth degree, and he would never knowingly do anything that would hurt his team. He wasn't trying to get away with anything. I've known this guy for 15 years, and there is no way that he was trying to get away with anything. This was a mistake. But the penalties and the league rules, all that stuff is completely separate from that kind of stuff. And I guess we, as journalists, we live with whatever rules are laid down by the governing body, in this case, the Canada West.
Well, good stuff here, Howard. So Scott Allen, the head coach of Trinity Western, suspended for Game 1 and 2 of the Canada West Pacific Division Series. And this is the first time Trinity Western has been in the Canada West Final Four since 2003. Pat McKay of UBC hit a shot at the buzzer to send. Actually, both teams ended up going on to the Canada West Final Four, but UBC hosted it. Your thoughts, Howard, though, on the weekend series? Scott Allen suspended for games 1 and 2, and what does that mean to the series, and your thoughts on what's going to go on here at the gym?
Well, like I said, I think it's a pretty serious blow to Trinity Western in terms of what Scott Allen has done against the Vikes. And I'll say this to you right now. Maybe we won't get to some other topics here while we talk about this being front and center, but I will say this. If you look at the 12 quarters of that Trinity Western-Victoria series, I will stand by this statement. Victoria dominated 9 of the 12 quarters, yet still didn't win that series. And there's a special kind of thing happening with that Trinity Western team where they were just, when they had to, they were the ultimate bend don't break defense. And that's when you lead by 27 and you give up an 18-1 run and you still win the third and deciding game. You know some neat things are happening with the chemistry of your team. And I thought, you know, moving Banman to that point guard position to start the game against Victoria, moving Lewis Hurd off the ball to the two-guard spot was really a genius stroke by Scott Allen. It really changed the entire look of that team in the first half. Banman's got some fitness issues trying to play the full game, at the lead guard spot. But Scott Allen, I'm just, you know, getting to the point that he makes that kind of a difference managing the bench of that team. And I think without him there, he's going to have to impart a lot of knowledge on his assistants going in as to how to react to certain types of situations. But Scott Allen has won everywhere he's gone, and there's a reason he does. It's because he's a great coach, in-game coach.
Awesome. Well, Howard, I do want to get on to the series now. That's a crazy story with Scott Allen. Your thoughts, though, Trinity Western UBC. I just had Bryson Cool on with me right now, center for the Thunderbirds. He actually told me Josh White did part practice today, Bryson. Part of the practice, Josh White was on the floor for UBC today, so we're still not sure if he's going to play or not this weekend. Jacob Dirksen, outstanding for UVic, for Trinity Western versus his former team, the UVic Vikes, on the weekend. Your thoughts on the series and how it's going to play out this weekend,
Howard? Well, first off, is Bryson listening?
Bryson's right here, yeah.
Is he listening? Well, I got this to say. I think, you know, a guy like Bryson is a guy that I think you look to this weekend, and I'm not just saying that because he's there. I think when you're a fifth-year guy, you know, when you're going into such a big series as this, I mean, I think the emotions come out. I think guys like that tend to step up even bigger than they have all year, and I think a guy like Bryson obviously can play a huge role when you think of how many points these guys score in the paint. We're talking about the Spartans with Dirksen and Jamie Vaughn and Lance Verhoef. I mean, the way they scored inside, you have to be physical and you have to move your feet on defense. And I think Bryson, you know, be one of the guys that'll play a key role there. The Josh White situation, you know what I think? If you can have Josh White in there for however many minutes you can, I think it's good for your team. But I think Alex Murphy at the same time really did show the depth of this team. At a time when you think the one guy on the team who played the most minutes is taken out of the mix, that you're not going to be vulnerable at such a key position, such a cerebral position on the floor as point guard, Alex Murphy stepped up and I thought delivered big time for those guys. So UBC is just deep. I think they just really have to believe in themselves as individuals in a team, and they're going to get the job done. Although this team they're playing has beaten them, you know, once this year, this UBC team has, I think, showed over the weekend that they're peaking at exactly the right time.
Well, the guy I talk about for peaking for UBC, Howard, just one of them this weekend. Kyle Watson had a career playoff high. Blaine LeBranch also. You mentioned that Alex Murphy was terrific. Brent Malish had a really big game on the weekend. Is Chris Dick on the weekend, Howard, 22 points on the Friday. You weren't at the game on the Saturday, but 31 points. He was shooting lights out. This is a guy whose numbers were down from 18 points per game to 14 this year, been battling back injuries, and just what the coaching staff has mentioned to me is because of the depth they had, they didn't have to play him all year. And, you know, even talking to Chris Dick, it was sort of like, were you mentally sort of just trying to peak for the playoffs? He said yes. Well, Chris Dick, he was awesome last weekend for UBC.
Yeah, he was. And you know what? The beauty of the UBC team, the way it is constructed, it's so egoless that when Chris is on, everybody recognizes that. You know, I think in a game where Malish is doing it inside and out, I think the recognition comes there. Let's feed the guy. Let's get him the ball outside. Let him crash inside. If Josh White is on, the same thing. Same thing with a guy like Bryson Cool, I believe, who on a road trip went 8 for 8 or 9 for 9 from the field. Let's keep feeding him the ball. Let's go through him. They recognize who is hot on the floor. They play off of that energy and that chemistry, and they just get on a roll. And I think Chris Dick is the ultimate guy in terms of that, in terms of being that confident big-time shooter. Everybody wants to kind of grab hold and ride along when he's on a streak like he was on Saturday.
So UBC, obviously the favorites going into the weekend, Howard. What is Trinity Western, without their coach in game 1 and 2, what do they have to do to win this series?
Well, I think they just have to remember, you know, Coach Allen's voice in practice and from the game and what they do, to get their energy up and kind of what they've done all year. I mean, you can overestimate the presence of a certain coach or underestimate it. It's hard to know. I just know Scott Allen means a lot to them, but I think he's also given them a lot and imparted a lot. So we'll see what happens. It's just, wouldn't you love to have your head coach, you know, in the divisional championship series? I think you would. So it's going to be a loss. You know, you could take Mike D'Antoni away. You could take Pat Riley away. It's going to mean something to your team if that guy is not there on the bench. I don't think you can sugarcoat that in any way, but I think this Trinity team still knows what it has to do. And if any team can withstand the loss of a coach, it's a veteran team. And look at all the veteran years that those Trinity guys have. You know, perhaps, you know, it's not going to be as big a thing as we say. I'm just a little shocked, Darryl. I've just heard this news, and I'm still trying to process it myself.
And, Howard, no Scott Allen or Scott Allen here. It is going to be an amazing atmosphere at War Memorial Gym this weekend.
It will be. It will be the, we would hope, the atmosphere of the year, but I will issue this challenge to UBC fans. They've got a long way to step up in terms of trying to match the energy that's at Anderson Gym. And I say that knowing they don't, I mean, they just need half the people to bring that kind of an energy. But to see how they supported that Trinity Western team over the weekend, it's the best single weekend of support I've seen for any university team since I've been back on the speed, and this is my sixth or seventh year back. When you have a section of 500 fans holding warrior shields, and they're all painted in the same outfits, I mean, you can tell that there's some spirit at that school. You'd love to see that transfer to UBC and to see those fans get behind their Thunderbirds. I mean, they're well-deserving of the support of the number two-ranked team in the country.
And, Howard, before we let you go, just one quick thing on the UBC women's basketball team. Winners in UVic on the weekend. The Vikes coming into the weekend, 15 of 16. That's their streak they were on. That's what they had won. UBC women, still the defending national champions, not favored at all this year, but they get the big first-round series win. Unfortunately, they got to go to SFU this weekend and take on a Klan women's team that's lost one game all year long. They destroyed Trinity Western on the weekend. UBC to advance to the Canada West Final Four, you got to figure, has to win this series. Does UBC have a chance to beat SFU this weekend?
Well, you know what, based on what Simon Fraser's has done and the fact it's on their home court and the fact that the number one team ranked team in the country, you'll say no. I mean, anybody would say they don't have a chance to win. I mean, but you know what, they were within 9 points of them the last time they played them. And, you know, stranger things have happened. So, I mean, I won't go into it any further than that, but I will say that I don't think, you know, if the UBC women's team, as it's presently comprised, wanted to come out of the year with something to build on for next year, not that they're settling here heading into this weekend, but they got it on the weekend in Victoria. They beat a red-hot team on the road, close games, on the road, and their young players stepped up and delivered in absolute crunch-time situations. That is akin to the same types of situations you threw your big three of McGinnis, Little, and Haggerty into many years ago, except back then those players had more of a senior cast around them. So I think UBC women got plus experience and more from what happened against Victoria. They just have to go into Simon Fraser, and all you can ask them to do is play their hearts out and see what happens. But I think either way, they've taken that big step into regaining their stature. Next season, I think they'll be among the better teams in the country. And really, they have the second half of the season and the playoffs to thank for that.
Awesome. Howard Sabre of the Vancouver Province. Howard, thanks so much for doing this today. Great stuff.
It's always fun, Darryl.
And
even when you ripped me on my Howie Award picks, I still love you.
Yeah, just so you know that, Bryson, I stuck up for you guys. Two UBC Thunderbirds.
Well, now you're bringing it up with Bryson.
No, I didn't. I'm just telling Bryson here. I'm just telling
him. Hey, Bryson and me go way back to Pitt Meadows, man. We're solid.
Awesome. And you'll be here all weekend, eh, Howard?
I will be there.
Awesome. We'll see you on the weekend. Howard Schumer of the Vancouver Province. Howard, thanks so much. See you on Friday.
Whoa.
Okay, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to talk a little UBC Thunderbird swimming. The CIS National Championships are going to be here on campus this weekend. We have Anna Mae Pierce and Callum Ng of the UBC Thunderbird men and swimming team. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips. Yeah!
AMS Mini School seeks to provide students and the community an opportunity to learn outside the classroom. Our courses are taught by professional instructors and delivered at the best rates around, starting at $45.
Check this out!
We provide a diverse array of courses including, but not limited to, pole dancing, photography, guitar, swing dancing, wine tasting, and much, much more. Courses begin in October, February, and May, and typically run for 4 to 6 weeks. Check out www.ams.bc.ca/minischool for registration information.
Turn up loud! Turn up!
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And the CIS Swimming Championships will be right here on UBC campus this weekend. And it has been quite the swimming dynasty here at UBC. We have with us from the UBC Thunderbird women's team, Anna Mae Pierce, a Olympian. Correct?
Yep.
Correct. And we have with us two-time CIS Male Swimmer of the Year, 07, 08, and 05, 06.
That's correct, yeah.
Callum Ng. And just so we, before we get into this weekend and all your guys' accomplishments, the UBC Thunderbird men's team won 10 CIS national championships, came to an end last year.
That is correct, yeah.
But a pretty good little run up to then, 10
it was,
in a row.
It was.
And the women, 11 in a row, you still have that going, but Anime, I hear it's, you just don't have very many swimmers this year.
Yeah. You know, we've kind of had a bad run with a couple of the girls getting injured and sick. So, you know, it's been a great run, but I think Calgary is going to take it this year. They've got seven more girls than us. That's 28 more swims. And when you look at it, it's just mathematically they've got the upper hand. We're going to fight to the death, and we're going to have some amazing swims, but they just got that upper hand. And how many swimmers?
Yeah, I'm told you had about four girls get injured, or
we had a couple girls get injured. I think three of the rookies and one of our main flyers, which, you know, you need for the medley relay and obviously the fly events. And then we had one of our little rookies get mono at the beginning of the year, and she's been out and just hasn't come back to it yet. Even she's just been so sick. So
you can't just go around campus, find some female swimmers, throw them in the pool for the weekend.
You know, I wish we could have, but you've got to qualify, and we should have maybe put posters up earlier and said, okay, you come some for UBC, and we'll figure something out. We'll give you chocolate, or I don't know, something.
Because if you enter a race, do you get points, or, you know?
If you make top 16, you get points.
Oh, so you couldn't just have anybody hop in the pool.
No, you got to actually be able to swim and make sure you don't get DQ'd, so.
Okay, there you go. So and so you'd have to actually find people who can do the strokes properly.
Exactly.
Per se.
Someone who's done it before.
Because there was an instance, and I hear it's not going to happen again. What was it again? The Olympics? In Australia. Somebody help me out here.
Oh, Eric the right. Eel.
Eric the Eel.
Yeah.
What did he do? What was the story? Callum, what was
the... Oh, well, he rolled in there, and I think he swam the 100 freestyle. Got a lot of media attention because of that, and then probably turned it into a few endorsements. But it's not necessarily the most accurate representation of the sport, throwing a guy in there. But participation is what it's all about in certain circumstances.
Eric? I think the whole point behind that is the Olympic movement is trying to get out there and get into underdeveloped countries and, you know, bring sport and healthy living and try and get countries more involved in in that sort of thing and a lot of stuff, even Right to Play, bringing sporting to underdeveloped countries so that children and people have that option instead of, you know, becoming one of the little freedom fighters or whatever they have. And that was kind of what was behind the Olympic movement, bringing things to those countries.
Because at one of my places I work with a guy who's from one of those countries. And I've actually told him he really likes to watch curling. And I've told him he should put a team together and go in the Olympics. But apparently you have to qualify now or something
something like that.
Yeah. So, and Callum, on the men's side, you guys had 10 national championships in a row that ended last year. What are your guys' chances going into the weekend?
Well, our boys look good. We look fast. Everybody's in a good mood and excited and really stoked to be here and pumped up. We've got, unlike the women, we've got 17 men. The 18 is the limit for CIS championship. So what we're going to do is go in there and you know, put up a fight. And we're going to be pretty strong. We've got some Olympians back in Scott Dickens. We've got national team members Matt Hawes back on the team this year. So we're going to look to get in there and give them a go. And it's going to be tight. But we're excited for it.
Because it's Calgary.
Right? So it's a rivalry. It's something that's happened. I mean, they were second for those championships. So, and they took it last year in our home pool. So there's a little bit of animosity between the teams. I think friendly animosity all the same. But we're going to get in there and go.
Are they favored?
I don't think anybody's favored. I think if they wanted to be favored, they could be favored. But when it comes down to it, the CIS Championships is about performing. So whatever's on paper before the weekend doesn't really matter.
And Anna May on the women's side, it's Calgary too. They're the favorites?
It is Calgary that's the favorite. You know, they have an Olympian. They've got a bunch of national team members, and they've got the numbers. But I have a lot of great friends on that team, and they're going to race hard just like we are.
Because I looked it up. You're Edmonton, and you're from Calgary.
That's correct, yeah. That's correct.
What are you doing here?
Well, I thought I'd come out and choose the team where I was going to swim fastest. So
okay,
that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
And
same sort of thing. Yeah. I actually, my first 2 years of varsity swimming was with U of A. So my very first CIS championships was here in the 2001-2002 season. And, you know, and then I took some time off from school and decided to make the move out to Vancouver for the swimming and for the team. They've got an awesome team out here. And it was just where I knew that if I wanted to get better, and that was where I needed to come.
So Anna Mae Pierce from Edmonton, Oilers fan?
Of course.
And Callum Ng, Flames fan.
Absolutely.
So you got the game in about an hour tonight.
We got a big night tonight.
You got the game in. I personally, I don't like Calgary, but I like Edmonton.
Well, we finally won a game. We won a game last night. I've had a few embarrassments over the past couple months. The 10-2 loss. Oh, hurts my heart. But you know, right now we're sixth in the division. So
there you go. My dad's family is from Vegreville.
Oh, there you go.
You know Vegreville?
Nope.
It's got the big egg.
You know Vegreville.
It's got the massive, giant Easter egg.
Oh, that?
Ukrainian egg.
Right by Vermilion?
Yeah.
There you go. I'll just leave it at that. And Callum, 07-08 CIS Swimmer of the Year, 05-06 CIS Swimmer of the Year, and Anna Mae, this guy's a top backstroker, hey?
Yes, he's pretty amazing. You know, one of Callum's strengths is his underwater. He can pretty much beat the whole field out there, and he's an awesome sprinter, and I just amaze at how fast he can make his arms move, because I am... You put me on my back, and I don't know what to do.
What does underwater mean? I don't know.
His underwater dolphin kick off the walls, and his turns and his starts are just, like, speed demon fast.
Explain that in layman terms.
All right. So you've got 15 meters off the wall, right? You have to be surfaced by 15 meters. So short course, you can take advantage of that, because there's more turns. It's not as advantageous long course. But in the short course pool, the 25-meter pool, you can use that to your advantage. And so we've been, you know, in short course swimming, it's very important.
Cool.
It's so faster underwater. You swim faster underwater.
And your big strength is the 50 back? Is that?
The 50 and the 100, yeah. And then I'll also be swimming the 100 fly and then the 200 fly over the weekend. So basically.
Are you favored in these events? I take it you are in the back, in the 50 and the 100 back.
Yeah, the 50 and the 100 is definitely my better events. And then the 100 and the 200... Basically, for the team, we're going to have to get up and we're going to have to win, right? We're going to have to go for the top of the podium. Same with Anna Mae in her fourth event, which is?
200 IM.
200 IM, there you go.
200 individual medley.
Yes.
Which is all the strokes?
You do all the strokes. Fly, back, breast, and free.
Because you're a breaststroker.
I am a breaststroker, but being a breaststroker and doing the IM, a lot of people think is unfair because you got to be good at the breaststroke if you're an IMer, because we tend to dominate. You know, I'm usually 7th or 8th after the first 100 and then 1st by the 150. So the breaststroke, I really make some good ground. A lot of people think that's cheating, but, you know.
And then at the end, it's
And then it's at the end freestyle. So you just put your head down and pray to God that you can get to the wall. There's a lot of, okay, please, just get me there. All I got to do is touch that wall.
And Calum, you're going for some records this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's those CIS records that my best times are actually under, so try to get to those best times and under and get under those. And then there's the Canadian records that exist. So UBC swimming's all about the next level, right, and getting to those records. And so.
So is one of your goals to win, and are you online to get that CIS Swimmer of the Year for a third time? UBC swimmers, 7 of the last 8 CIS Swimmers of the Year have been UBC, and I believe in the last 10 years, you and Brian Johns are the only guys with 2 or more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got Big Scotty in there, Scott Dickens, who's real fast. He's a breaststroker like anime. And so it's going to be great because, you know, I think, honestly, it'll be either me or Scotty to get in for that. So, you know, it'll be a good little on-team rivalry to see who can outscore on the points.
So you're competing with your teammate for
the title. Yeah, of course. I mean, all 4 Big Scotties, I mean, we've got all the respect for each other, and it's good to have that competition on the team.
Anime, you were the 07-08 CIS Swimmer of the Year.
Yes, I was.
Is that a goal for the weekend?
Definitely, indeed. You know, just trying to get as fast as I can in those breaststrokes. I'm not rested for this, but I'm still going to post some pretty fast times and see how close I can get to my goal times for future on in the year.
What does she mean, she's not rested? What does that mean?
Well, that means that Anime is going to swim unbelievably fast this weekend. And then 3 weeks from now at the Nationals in Toronto, she's going to swim, like, extremely out of her mind fast. That's basically what it means.
So you've got the Nationals in 3 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to...
I got to pace myself a little. But my coach said I got 3 days rest here yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he says, well, that's good enough for you.
Are you swimming at the Nationals anytime soon?
I won't be competing at the Nationals this year. Yeah.
Why not?
Well, basically, I'm taking a master's degree, so okay. I'll be going into the final term of that. So finishing up with CIS swimming. I won't be done swimming, but I'll be taking a little hiatus and to finish my degree.
Are you going to be shooting for the Olympics in 2012? Or?
You know what? If I'm around for it, then definitely. I mean, we'd like to see it. I've been in school for 5 years, and doing school and swimming has definitely been a balancing act, but it'd be nice to be done with school at the end of April and then see what we can do in the pool.
A true student athlete right here,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The true student athlete. And Anime, you were in the Olympics in China.
Yes.
You were in China, and I got your numbers here. You were 6th in the 200-meter breaststroke, 10th in the 100-meter breaststroke, and 7th in the 4x100-meter relay.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was an unbelievable experience. It had been my dream and goal since I was 6 years old, a little kid. And to just kind of finally get there, you walk off the plane, and we pretty much had a red carpet walking out of the airport, and it was unbelievable from start to finish. And the Canadians, we did amazing as a team. And, you know, it's brought so much momentum into Canadian swimming and into Canadian sport, especially leading into Vancouver 2010. Canadians have realized that we are a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of that even on the pool deck this weekend. The fact that as a Canadian team, as a Canadian country, we are forced to be reckoned with, and we're going to damn well show how fast and how good we are.
So the Olympic, this was your first Olympics?
Yes, it was.
Are you going to shoot for London?
Indeed. Or? You know, indeed. I didn't quite get where I wanted to this past summer. You know, I was...
Pretty close, eh?
Yeah, I was hungry for a medal and... didn't quite get there, and so 4 years from now, with a little bit more experience and a little bit more muscle on me, I'll get there.
And being in China for the Olympics, you know, we heard a lot going into China, and I believe the Olympics before, was that Australia before?
It was Athens right before,
Athens.
And then
okay.
Australia.
And now we're going to London this time, so the whole Chinese thing with the air, what was it like being in China for that?
China was amazing. You know, the air... it wasn't even as bad as we thought it was.
Right.
There was a couple days which were pretty bad, but other than that, you couldn't really tell. Plus, the swimming was indoors. But the Chinese people, everything was run so smoothly. The people were so friendly. I mean, you'd be lost on the street trying to figure out where to go, and 2 or 3 Chinese people would come up, to try and help you, but you didn't speak Chinese, they didn't speak English, so you're trying to work with each other, and you've got no idea what the other person is saying, and then all these other people would try and come over and help you, and you're just standing there going, well, thank you for the help, but we don't understand each other, and it was nuts, but everybody wanted to help you, and everybody was so friendly, and it was so clean. I mean, they had 100,000 volunteers.
Right.
So pretty much you had a volunteer behind you sweeping up and cleaning up after you, and it was everything. It was run so amazing, and the facilities were just blew your mind. And it was, yeah, it was breathtaking.
So what I would ask somebody, the big remembrance of the Chinese Olympics, obviously you were in that arena when Michael Phelps was swimming.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
Michael Phelps is an unbelievable athlete. You know, he deserves everything he gets. I mean, he's not one of those athletes who has the talent and just sits back and just goes on talent. You know, he works his butt off. He's probably one of the hardest trainers out there, and you know, he's got the gift, but he doesn't just rely on his gift. He goes on his hard work and everything, and he's just phenomenal to watch in the water, cuz he just flies, and I mean
What does he do, Callum?
It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Like, I mean, if you think about for swimmers, it's obviously more relevant because you understand the sport a little bit better. But I think everybody appreciates the level of dominance to which he has, you know, basically unleashed on the swimming world over the last 8 years. And it's unreal to watch him because it's like someone who was absolutely blessed for the sport and chosen the exact sport and been in the exact moment at the right point in time for all this to happen. And I think everybody was on their knees. I mean, at home, we were at home watching it on television when the 100 came down to the touch, and it yeah. looked as if it was over. And I think anybody, not only in swimming but in sport in general, was just almost devastated when they thought he had lost, because it's so important for the Olympic movement for him to win that many medals.
So you swam on days that he swam?
Yeah,
you
were in,
What was the atmosphere like in the arenas? And because for the Americans, that was the big coverage. That's where it was. It was on the swimming pool.
Yeah, you know, Phelps swam and everybody stopped.
Wow.
Like, you're in your warm-up and people just stopped to watch the scoreboard and to watch the TVs that were in the warm-down pool and everything, just to see what he was going to do. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, it's easier in swimming. He has so many events that he could be in. He can do all the different strokes. But I try and explain to someone, you know, being that good at that many strokes is pretty much, if you are a track athlete and you do the high jump and you do the 800 and you do the 100-meter sprint and you do the 110-meter hurdles, you know, like, he's that good. And it's not just the fact that he won 8 golds because he could enter that many events, but it was like, okay, well, say Usain Bolt did shot put and his events. You know, that's the caliber of athlete that Michael Phelps is, that he just is dominating. He does everything.
Well, yeah, you make a point there. Is actually in the – Jesse Owens, I think, did something similar. Not as many events, but he would do the long jump, and Carl Lewis was that kind of athlete. But were you in the stands for any of these events? Were you on the sidelines?
I was on the sidelines for his first gold, and then I was kind of watching it from in the warm-down pool and that sort of thing when I was getting ready for my races or being in the ready room. And, you know, it was so cool.
Wow. And the other one I was going to bring up is the opening and closing ceremonies, being an athlete for that.
I didn't actually go to the opening ceremonies because I competed on day 3. So none of the swimmers went because it's a really long day and it ends up being about an 8 or 9 hour day and you end up walking around. And so I just watched it on TV.
That's a fair mistake on my part.
No, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the athletes don't end up going to openings because it is just such a long day. But we watched on TV. We watched Canada march out and then I went to bed. And my roommate, Erica Morningstar, who's actually swimming for Calgary this weekend, her and I, we were fast asleep. We go to bed, and about 12:30, like midnight, all of a sudden we're woken up to what sounds like bombs going off. Seriously, the walls of our room were shaking. And it was, we like woke up, we're like, oh my God, what is this? What is going on? You look outside, and it's the fireworks. And pretty much to think about what these fireworks were like, the Festival of Lights that happens in Vancouver every summer, if you took every country's fireworks for the whole week, or whatever it is, and set them all off on one day all together, that's what their fireworks were like for 25 minutes.
Wow.
And it was just unbelievable. The entire sky was lit up, and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then closing ceremonies is awesome because everybody's done. It's just a big party. It's not so structured. You can run around the field and, you know, all the teams are mingling together. There's people cracking beers open on the field.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. I think a couple of the rowers were having some beers with Yao Ming. He was chilling with us. And, like, he's just so awesome. And the best thing I remember about closing ceremonies is you're all waiting to march out onto the field. And Adam Creek, who's one of the Olympic gold medalists, the rowers, were standing there, and they were all goofy. And the team that was ahead of us was an African team, and they were doing some cool African dancing, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, Adam Creek starts singing the Alouette gentille, Alouette, Alouette gentille plumée. And he starts singing it, and then a couple other people start singing it. And then our entire Canadian team is singing this song while in the, like, gallows waiting to march out, and just like 300 Canadian athletes are belting at the top of their lungs singing this song, and it was just so awesome because it was such a Canadian thing and we were all together, and it was so much fun.
Great. So definitely trying to make it back for London.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Callum, your thoughts? I got two more questions for you guys with swimming. I personally think Michael Phelps's pipe scandal. I guess I can. My only understanding is he's being portrayed with Kellogg's and all that for kids. So yeah. I can kind of understand that. But personally, I think very overblown. But maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Like, well, you look at it, and I mean, you look at the culture in BC versus the culture in the rest of the world, especially United States, right? So that's something that they find a little bit more taboo. But I mean, it's newsworthy. And that's basically all it is. I mean, he has probably felt a little bit of pressure from people, you know, whatever their opinions are on certain activities. But, you know, he just maybe needs to be more aware now that his celebrity has exploded a little bit of what's going on around him and making sure that, but honestly, come on.
Yeah, I'm there. Anime?
Yeah,
thoughts?
You know, he is a role model for young kids. And I actually read something which was pretty funny. And it was about how if kids come up to their parents and say, oh, well, Michael Phelps smoked. And the parents could say, okay, well, you know what? You win 16 gold medals for your country at the Olympics and you can do it too. So, I mean, the pressures, he's young, he's 23. Yes, it was a stupid mistake, and yes, he has to be more aware and realize that he is a role model. And, you know, he's had a few little
hiccups. Oh, he's had hiccups along the way, right, with the DUI in 2004.
But, I mean, he's human, and it just, it's kind of unfortunate that he is such a celebrity. And, you know, he didn't ask to be a celebrity. It's not like if you're a movie star and you ask to be on the screen, you ask to be in front of people, but he's a celebrity because he's amazing at what he does. And he's just been thrown out there.
Yeah, I could see the Kellogg's dropping him because they want to make a statement. Yeah. But the suspension, come on.
Oh, it's a little bit overblown.
Yeah.
For sure. They just want to set him as a sort of like, you know, an example for the rest of the team.
And I think they kind of had a bit of a hiccup with their positive drug testing during their Olympic trials. One of the breaststroke girls tested positive for a banned steroid. Ah. So, you know, they've had a bit of that, and I think they need to really make sure that they're not just allowing things to fly because it is their stars and their...
Well, that actually leads into my last topic, anime, and this is, I want to ask you this question because at the Olympics, China obviously dominated. And I remember it was about, do you guys know where I'm going here? About
about
5-6 years ago.
Absolutely.
Chinese swimming in the women, right? Not the men, it was the women, came onto the scene, suddenly broke all the world records. I mean, what's going on there?
I think people are naive when they think that sport is clean. Ultimately, you can only know of yourself and that you're clean. And it disappoints me in a way because I just know the amount of work and what I put into it and how hard I train. And to think that someone beats me because of a little something extra that they're taking, really, really disappoints me, but that's the way of sport. And I mean, if you think about it, if I can train my butt off and get there and start beating these people who are cheating, you know.
What was there talk with, I mean, say what you can, but was there talk with the Chinese women swimmers in this?
Definitely. There's always talk, though, on a lot of people. And not only the Chinese, there's a lot of talk around just certain athletes in general. And I mean, walking through the village and walking through, you can see a lot of them. You can tell when you see the girl whose back is bigger than any of the guys on the team, and you can tell when they've got the acne and the just
because
man features.
Brian Johns told me a story once. There was a female swimmer on UBC, I think, or maybe it was, I don't know, but it was during an international event, and she walked into a dressing room and she saw a couple men talking, and it turned out it was female Chinese swimmers.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely heard that one before. And last summer, or 2 summers ago, I was at the Pan Am Games, and there was a Brazilian swimmer, and she's actually since had a lifetime ban.
Really?
For doping, and I've never seen anybody that big in my life. She was one of our old swimmers, Mike Mintenko. She was larger than he was, and he was pretty much the biggest guy Canadian swimming has ever had. And just her arms and her back were massive. She was huge.
I mean, you've got to be joking me. Sometimes, like, I mean, you can't really speculate on some athletes, but some it's just so in the face that it's just like, well, it's just a matter of time before they're done, right?
Right. And, but Canadian Olympics, we had the Ben Johnson scandal.
We did.
And are we clean still? I mean,
I think it's a country that's definitely.
Because we got hit hard. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure. And yeah. I mean. But it's definitely, I think, a country that's more leading the way in terms, and it's just more of the culture, right? I mean, it's it comes about as, like, you know, if you come from a Western country, I think it's more like what you can get from being successful in sport. And in Canada, maybe it's not as much notoriety or fame or success or money, so there's not as much incentive there to do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I get tested more than almost any other swimmer I know from other countries. I get tested at least twice a month.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and I think Canadians were not very dishonest. I mean, you have anything and you're going to get turned in. And so I think as Canadians as a country, we don't win enough. No, you don't. I mean, you don't get the same sort of fame and notoriety that another country's going to get if you do win a medal.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully it'll change that we'll get some good monies, but...
Because you mentioned that's another topic for another day. Yeah. I'd love to get into that, but we just don't have the time right now. I always wonder, though, you mentioned Western countries. The big story I would love one day to get the answer to, and it'll never come out, is I don't know what it's like anymore with that country, but the U.S. track and field team in the 80s.
Oh,
yeah, you've got to wonder.
That's the big one.
Oh, even up to
2008.
Yeah, even really? Right still up to right? The point. Yeah.
And not only there, I shouldn't even say anything, but I definitely don't think they're a clean country. Oh, and they cover up more than anybody.
Absolutely.
Still, because I've heard stories, because they've done a lot of research with the Ben Johnson scandal and what was going on with the Americans at that time, with test results went missing, I believe.
Well, even you look at their Balco scandal. And pretty much anybody who testified,
Marion Jones,
and no, but anybody who testified and said that they had taken steroids, it was covered up because it was a closed testimony.
Right.
Whereas if you denied taking it and it came out, you know, I mean, she was impeached. She went to jail because of they found out she lied.
Right.
And not then, it all came out that she had done it. But anybody else who was involved in it, who pretty much said yes, I took these drugs. Nothing happened to them because they were like, oh, well, you told the truth.
Well, hopefully it'll change, right? I mean, you have A-Rod who's being, like, dragged through the mud, so hopefully it'll change, you know. But
I don't know about the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's not looked at the same. It's still looked at as clean by the public. It's a little different.
Yeah, if you want to watch a funny thing, watch Tommy Tiernan's The Drug Olympics. He's an Irish comedian, and he talks about just they should allow any drugs in the Olympics and see who can do what.
so you're one of it's got to be tough though, swimming against athletes, you know, some of them are cheating. That's,
well, you just take it for what it is and you do your best.
Yeah.
And one day you'll surpass everybody.
There you go.
For sure. Frustration.
Awesome. CIS Swimming Championships this weekend. Thank you very much, Anna Mae Pierce.
Nice to meet
and
you.
And Callum Ming.
Cheers.
These are each of them, the defending CIS Swimmers of the Year. Callum's a two-time champion. Thanks a lot, guys. Very much appreciate for coming on the show, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
Okay, when we're back, we're going to talk a little UBC Thunderbird women's basketball. I'm late having her on. Leah St. Pierre of the UBC Thunderbird women's team will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Having a little computer delay here. Can you grab me a CD there, Callum?
Yeah, absolutely.
the computer has frozen on me here.
Always good.
Yeah, you can see it. Oh, we're back.
You got it?
Yeah, we're okay. Come on. There we go.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You're listening to CITR on 101.9. That was smooth.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. With us in studio right now, coming off a big upset victory over the UVic Vikes, first-year UBC Thunderbird Leah St. Pierre. And, you know, Leah, first off, congratulations on your weekend victory.
Thank you.
And you had a really big game for the UBC Thunderbirds on Saturday in the final win of the weekend. 22 points and 5 rebounds in the 64-62 win. You hit the big free throws?
Yes, I did.
5 seconds to go. You hit the two free throws.
Point four
seconds to go. Game two against UVic. You're at the free throw line, tied up at 62. You knock these down. You guys are advancing to the next round. What was going through your thoughts? 0.4 seconds to go.
I honestly didn't even know how much time was on the clock. I knew it was winding down. And we tried to make a play, and it just didn't work out. So I got the rebound. So I didn't know what I was thinking. I just tried to go up again, and I got fouled on it. And I didn't even know how much time was left on the clock yet until I looked up, of course. And then I was shocked.
Is it because what happened? You hit the free throws. They called timeout, got it at half court?
No, they didn't have any timeouts left.
You hit one of them, the game's over.
Yeah, exactly. And they had called the timeout thinking they would mess me up, but really I was able to regroup, so that
freeze.
Was nice.
They tried to freeze you.
Did not work.
Well, so that's because you see that all the time in basketball, them trying to, and you see it in football with the kicker.
Yes.
Same thing. So, okay, so you step into the free throw line. Are you expecting a timeout to be called? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But there was a delay of time because apparently he had thrown his water bottle out on the court, so I didn't know what was going on, but there was a big delay.
So they had to clean
out. They had to clean out, and then they ended up calling a timeout, so there was a really big delay from when they had called the foul till when I actually approached the line.
So what's going in your mind stepping up to hit these two free throws? Is just routine? You just got to get into it and just throw it up?
Yeah, I just had to be confident with it, and I mean, everyone was really calm, so that helped. I mean, going to the line, you have to be confident just with your routine and everything, and it worked out, so that was nice.
And 22 points, 5 rebounds in a game versus UVic in the playoffs to put them away and advance to the next round. Is that your first-year player, but is that your best game as a Thunderbird?
Yeah, it's one of my highest-scoring games, which was very nice. But, I mean, our team really stepped it up in the fourth quarter. So it was nice that we were able to, a lot of us were able to contribute point-wise. So.
And for this UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team, I mean, obviously, you know, three national championships in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. That have a lot to do with you coming here?
Not necessarily.
What made you choose UBC in Vancouver? Because you're from New Brunswick.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, we have two Maritime girls out here already. So, I mean, just obviously Vancouver's a really, really nice city.
Not as cold.
No, not as cold, no. And, I mean, the academics here is... speaks for itself. And the program, athletic program, is unbelievable. So, I mean, I just wanted to experience something different. Mm-hmm. Come out here and just, you know, try something new. So
wanted to leave home.
Exactly. Shouldn't say that to my parents, but...
Well, it's understandable.
Oh, they know, they know.
It's understandable. Your basketball team this season, you guys got off to a very slow start the first half of the year, but you really came on in the second half. You had to fight tooth and nail with Trinity Western to take third place. And, you know, you'd be traveling to Burnaby to play SFU last weekend, but you fought hard. You got to go to UVic. But this weekend, you had lost 2 of 3 to UVic during the season. Mm-hmm. And they were winners of 15 of 16 going into the weekend. You were the underdogs, and you swept them.
Yep.
What was that like?
Well, I mean, we played UVic before Christmas. And we have developed so much since then. So, I mean, we were really, really confident going into the series this weekend because we knew we had changes as a team and we had a lot of strategies against them. So, I mean, we were really confident about it and we just played like we knew we could. And, you know, we came out successful. So it was great for us.
And real tough matchup this weekend. Mm-hmm. SFU, one loss on the season. What do you guys have to do? You played them somewhat tough this year, but they did win all three games. But what do you have to do to pull off what would be a pretty big upset this weekend?
I think just playing like we know we can and sticking to, you know, like sticking to what we have planned out. A lot of emphasis is on defense this weekend and also on transition. So, I mean, just sticking to the game plan and playing as a team and just going in there with confidence and not being intimidated. Because, I mean, SFU, they're ranked number one in the country. So it's we're definitely the underdogs coming into it, but we're starting to like it a lot.
Okay, what we're going to do right now, Leah, is we're going to take a quick break, and then Wilson Wong, who does your play-by-play on the radio, mm-hmm. is going to come on with us. We're going to talk a little bit about your weekend coming up.
Sure.
Okay, that's the plan here. You're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM. We'll be right back in 19 seconds.
You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR. Vancouver. It's whatever. Hip-hop, R&B, jazz. It's whatever. Reggae, soul, mainstream. It's whatever. News, sports, and entertainment.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9. Whoa! Wilson! Wilson, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, with us right now on the line. Oh, Wilson, it's too loud.
Not my fault.
Oh, we'll go for it. With us on the line right... Can you hear him? It's extremely loud there. With us on the line right now, Wilson Wong, play-by-play announcer for UBC Thunderbird Women's Basketball. Wilson, with us right here is Leah St. Pierre.
Hello.
Hi. Wilson, take us through... Leah was just telling us about the free throws she hit at the end of the game. Take us through that wonderful play setting up the free throws, and she said there was a water bottle thrown on the floor. UVic called timeout to try to freeze her, but it didn't faze this young lady, and she knocked them both down.
Well, it was actually, I think, Candace Morris went for a last-second drive, and I think it was either blocked or it fell short. And I think Kayla Dykstra came down with a rebound, and Leah just came from behind on the sideline or on the end line and just knocked it away from her, went up for the hoop, and was fouled, and it was all very exciting.
So I
didn't see the water bottle, though.
Leah said there was a water bottle thrown on the floor.
That's what our team's saying, and you know what? I just saw him go nuts, so I knew something happened, and I turned around as soon as I could.
So, Wilson, we're talking about her knocking a rebound out of Kayla Dykstra, who was the leading rebounder in the Canada West this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's almost like she actually stole the ball from her from behind, which is probably more impressive. As I was watching it, I didn't even realize how much time was left on the clock until they called the timeout and I looked up and it was, 0.4 seconds left.
Leah didn't know either. Nobody knew how much time was left here.
I'm bad for that, too.
Well, what's going on there? Nobody seemed to know.
But she talked about how her heart was beating slowly, she said, or something along those lines. She was very calm, and she knew she'd make the post.
Yeah, you're still confident, eh?
Yeah, I wasn't really shaking, which was nice. So, you know, especially having the timeout, like I said, was nice to regroup and...
A little closer. Wilson, this basketball team, though, this year, how much better has this team played in the second half of the season?
What did Leah say?
She didn't say. What did you say?
I said we've developed a lot as a team. And
developed a lot as a team.
There you go.
There you go. What have you seen, Wilson?
I mean, I think they seem to be a lot more assertive when they're out there on the court. There's a lot more confidence, I think, and that, I guess, we would assume that just because I think in the first half, not only were they, with a lot of the players really young and getting to know each other, they were playing some of the toughest teams in the whole country. So it's kind of hard to develop any sort of chemistry in that way because you're not doing a lot of the things that you want to do as often as you'd like to do it. And I think in the second half, they've gotten, you know, a couple of relatively easier games, but just they've been able to do that against some very good teams, and they've been able to sort of keep it going from week to week.
Because, Leah, just so you know, I asked Wilson off-air yesterday for his prediction versus SFU this weekend, and, Wilson, you told me UBC in three games.
Well, I think you should tell her the whole story.
What's the whole story?
Well, I don't know if you can call up Jason, but on Thursday, as we were driving to UBC to pick up the equipment, Jason
Wang, one of our CITR sports members.
He just basically was talking about how we were planning to do future games and such, and I said, well, UBC is going to win in two games in Victoria, and they'll beat SFU in three. And he kind of laughed and thought I was joking. But, you know, Victoria, they went into Victoria and won the both games.
So there you go. His prophecy is so far true.
Yep.
Leah, what do you guys have to do, though? Obviously, SFU's such a tough team. They've lost one game all year. Yeah. What do you have to do to win the game?
I think we have an advantage, especially because we've had a lot of tight games this year. So we've had to fight through it. As opposed to them, they've had a lot of easy games for them. I think just playing as a team is really important, and also just making sure that we keep some of their top players under control and really kind of set the tempo of the game.
Yeah, Wilson, how good is this SFU team, though, Wilson?
Well, actually, I talked about this with Howard Smurr earlier, the province sports reporter. You know what? If you pick five players off their bench and you put them in Ontario or the Atlantic Division, they'd actually do pretty good. That's how deep they are. But I think that there's no reason why they can't be beat. We saw earlier this year three times UBC had the lead against them in the fourth quarter. So they're really, really good. They have lots of talent, lots of experience, great coaching. But I think that they can be beat. I know that they're really inspired to go on a big run to the national championships because of what happened last year. But it should be a pretty good weekend this weekend at Simon Fraser.
So three times in their losses, they played three times this year, but in every game, UBC had the lead in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, so you guys do have confidence playing this team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Wilson, thanks for doing this, and I know you're talking on the bus here. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm just crazy here.
Thanks a lot, Wilson.
All right, take care.
Awesome. That was Wilson Wong, your play-by-play announcer. With us right now, Leah St. Pierre. Leah, we're out of time here. Thanks so much for doing this. Very much appreciated.
Well, thanks for having me.
And you'll be taking on the SFU Clan Friday and Saturday in Burnaby and Sunday at, what is it, 1 o'clock if necessary?
Yes, at 1 or 3 o'clock, yeah.
Right. And my understanding, though, is with the way the Canada West women's playoffs works, is obviously it's the same as the men. The three teams that win their divisional series will go to the Final Four. There will be a wild card in T, but my understanding is you guys are to get that wild card. You probably won't get the wild card with your record, so you are gonna have to beat SFU to move on.
Yeah,
is that the way it's looking?
Yeah, just due to our record.
That lousy first half of the season.
I know, God. Oh well.
Well, you got to beat them sometime, right?
Exactly.
Although the team last year that won the national championship never beat SFU.
Oh, exactly. It all comes down to playoffs, so.
So no, but even in the playoffs, they didn't beat SFU.
Oh, that's right.
In they the lost finals. In the Canada West Final Four, yeah. And they didn't have to play them in national.
That's true.
So be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Léa St-Pierre, big free throw hitter at the end of the game. So there you go. If you ever, when you watch a game on TV, was that the first time you had to hit free throws like that at the end of the game? Or
it's happened a long time ago before, but no, this was on the line, last second, first time for sure.
So yeah. When you're watching a game on TV and you see a guy miss it or a lady miss it,